Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's been a commercial recently on YouTube that asked the question, will you miss the mute button when we are meeting in person again? Over the past year, many people have gotten used to Zoom meetings or conference calls. One of the great features of such a meeting is that if you're wearing your pajamas, you can turn the camera off. Or if you don't want others to hear you as you eat potato chips during the weekly strategy meeting, you can mute your microphone. Or if you don't like what someone else is saying, you can mute them. But once people start returning to work or school in person, they will need to interact face to face, and they will not be able to mute themselves or anyone else. This pandemic has caused people to fear face-to-face interactions with their friends. And even worse, it has caused them to fear being present in person for the divine service, where God speaks his word and gives you the real presence of God's word incarnate, Jesus' body and blood. These gifts can only be received in the flesh, not through a Zoom meeting, not through a YouTube video. In our gospel reading, we hear of the face-to-face ministry of Jesus among the Gentiles. And Jesus is traveling from Lebanon and into the region of the Decapolis, the Ten Cities, which is a predominantly Greek region. This travel among the Gentile cities is a foreshadowing of the spread of Christianity, a spread throughout the Gentile world. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest?" You see, the gospel of Jesus is not just for Israel. Jesus came and died for all people. And Jesus is well known among the people as someone who can heal. So well known is Jesus for his healing that the crowds bring the sick and the lame to be healed. The people begged and pleaded Jesus to lay his hand on this man who could not speak or hear. And the crowd asked for this healing of this man, but Jesus takes him aside and deals with him privately. And then Jesus does something we might find odd. He places his fingers into that deaf and mute man's ears, and then he spits on his fingers and touches the man's tongue. Now, certainly today we might find this unsanitary or even prohibited, as we are told we must douse our bodies with sanitizer lest we look at someone the wrong way. But Jesus is not afraid. He touches this man. Specifically, he places his fingers into his ears and on his tongue, and perhaps this is a sign or a signal to communicate with the man, "I understand there's a problem with your ears and with your tongue." And then Jesus looked up to heaven. Suppose we could say this too is nonverbal communication to the sick man. See, Jesus is not a magician or a sorcerer, but he is the only begotten Son of the Heavenly Father, the Holy One of Israel, and he does his Father's will. The miracle that is about to happen is from divine power. Jesus has compassion on this man, and he groans. Again, Jesus uses nonverbal communication to convey that he understands the miserable plight of this man who cannot hear the word of God nor proclaim it. Jesus is showing this man, a man bound in sin, his perfect compassion. And then Jesus speaks to this man who cannot hear or speak. And Jesus speaks the word Ephatha. St. Mark records this word in the Aramaic exactly as Jesus spoke it. so that we might hear the sound of the word of Jesus for ourselves. Now, St. Mark translates it for the Gentile audience and for us as well, be opened. But today we hear the word of Jesus just as it would have sounded as he spoke it. Ephatha. Jesus says this out loud and commands that this man's hearing and speech be restored. The text says that at the utterance of this word, the deaf man's ears were opened, and immediately he was able to speak clearly. Now today, some people who have been deaf since childbirth may be given a sense of hearing through a cochlear implant, but if they have been deaf since birth or for a long time, their speech is impaired. They have never heard words through their ears. So how could they know how to speak clearly? But this formerly deaf and mute man, he's not just making somewhat coherent sounds. He is speaking clearly. He is speaking distinctly and in full and complete sentences. Now, St. Mark does not record for us exactly what this man is saying, but he does say that he was speaking clearly. Now, I imagine that this included many thank yous and praising God and telling others what God had done for him. But now the time for Jesus to go to the cross had not yet come. And even though Jesus told them not to tell anyone about it, they proclaimed this great miracle. This man who was deaf and mute, who was cut off from the world, was healed, and he was now part of his society, proclaiming the works of Jesus and praising God. The gospel tells us that the more Jesus implored them not to say anything, the more they proclaimed it. They could not help themselves. They just had to tell the world about Jesus. It was not the touch or the spittle of Jesus that healed this man, but it was the spoken word of Jesus. Our epistle makes it clear. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It is the spoken word of Christ that heals this man. Jesus touches the ears and the tongue of this man because the kingdom of God is based upon the word. God's word cannot be grasped or understood except through the ears. The ears hear the word of God, and faith takes hold of it in the heart, and the tongue confesses. The scriptures give us another example of the power of the spoken word of God. In Acts chapter 8, an Ethiopian eunuch was reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah. Philip, who happens to be walking by, hears him reading the scripture, and the eunuch asked Philip to help him understand it. And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit used the out loud reading of the word of God to open the eunuch's ears and to hear the gospel, and the eunuch was baptized that very hour. In the ancient church, the touching of the ears and the spitting on the fingers and touching of the tongue were part of the baptismal rite. After the priest would touch the child's ears and tongue, he would say, "Be thou opened." Now, this practice may seem strange to us, but in baptism, the Holy Spirit opens your ears and mouths as God's word combines with the water. The word of God has the power to create faith. Just as Jesus was communicating with the deaf and mute man, "I'm going to heal your ears and your tongue," so too, in the water of baptism, your ears were opened to receive the word of God, and your tongues confess the gospel of Christ. We live in a world that's hostile to the word of God. It may not openly attack our congregation today, but the world is secretly and sometimes not so secretly, hostile to God, and it despises God's word. The world and its prince Satan would rather that you all sit at home and never go to divine service. Satan will use any means to scare you and convince you that you should not be present to hear the word of God or receive his life-giving gifts at the altar. Satan would like nothing more than to press the mute button on the word of God. And Satan will distract and tempt you to become complacent and progressively ignore the word of God. You will become like a child who does not want to listen to his parents by sticking his fingers in his ears. Eventually, you will become the deaf and mute man. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus would never have us do anything that would cause harm to us or to our neighbors. The word of God can never harm you. Instead, it is the power that gives you faith to trust in Christ. Jesus is the Word of God incarnate, the Word made flesh, by whom all things were created. And these are the words that you hear with your ears today. This morning, our liturgy has been filled with the Word of God. You heard with your ears the Word of God as you received absolution for your sins. The Bible was read out loud, and you chanted the Psalms. You will hear the words of Christ as he gives us the gifts of his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. And soon we will sing the words, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. On the cross, Christ the crucified one, the holy, innocent Lamb of God, won for you eternal life and salvation. Jesus' death on the cross paid the complete debt of sin, and by his resurrection, he conquered sin, death, and the devil forever. This deaf and mute man, it's a graphic image of what it means to be a sinner. As sinners, our ears were closed. We did not have faith. We were dead. The prophet Isaiah wrote of Jesus, In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. Jesus Christ has broken the curse of sin which afflicts mankind. And by the word of God made flesh, your ears have been opened, and you have faith and believe. God the Holy Spirit blesses our opened ears as we continue to hear the word of Christ. And our tongues bless the Lord at all times, with this praise continually in our mouths. In the name of Jesus. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.